Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. We have Ashley Mann back with us tonight to talk about Hell in a Cell. What does she think is going to happen? Are there any big returns in sight? We cover that and, of course, discuss a little bit more on SmackDown and the things that aren't on the pay-per-view as we go throughout the show. So, as always, this one's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get everything started right after this.
My name is Mike De Niro, and I am one third of the New York City rap group, The Lords of Gotham. I am also the host of the Wrestling DeLorean podcast. The Wrestling DeLorean podcast is your one-stop shop for all the news and notes around the wrestling world. We talk about everything from WWE to AEW, Impact Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling, MLW, Ring of Honor, and beyond. But wait, there's more. We also go back in time and discuss all the events and moments that made us all fans. New episodes of the Wrestling DeLorean podcast drop Monday through Friday. Yes, 5 episodes a week. And you can find us wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. So what are you waiting for? Hop in the Wrestling DeLorean, strap in your seatbelt, become a passenger of the Wrestling DeLorean podcast, and enjoy the ride, because it is going to be one hell of a good time.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis.
Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said, give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get the show started right now.
All right, everybody. It is time for Hell in a Cell. Well, the preview anyway. With Ashley Mann, longtime co-host of this show. And I know you guys love when she's on the show. So I figured to give yourself and me a treat and have her on as the co-host of this show, and really just a great detailed preview as always, and a fun conversation as we dive into the pay-per-view and other stuff, which is inevitable when you have a wrestling podcast. You know you're going to just talk about other stuff because it happens, right? So we obviously do cover Hell in a Cell, but we touch a little bit more on SmackDown, what could be coming with live fans coming back, who's potentially going to return. We've all heard the names, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, The Rock, right? We've all heard that, Becky Lynch. So we dive into when they return, who could be their opponents. So yes, we did touch on that as well. So I promise we stay on topic though. And Ashley is, as always, just a great co-host and, you know, certainly a family member here at the WWE podcast at this point. So, Ashley is great. Now let's just also give you guys a quick thing about, Hell in a Cell, quick information. If you want to join us on a Discord server on Hell in a Cell, where it's just the patrons and yourself, all wrestling fans, head on over to patreon.com right now and join us for the conversation. For $1, it gets you not just the Discord server, but it also gets you every show we've ever done ad-free, number one, and a shout-out on this show. So Stephen Sulmner, I hope I pronounced that right. Stephen, thank you for becoming a patron here, the latest patron to join us here. Stephen Sulmner, thank you so much. And I'll be looking forward to chatting with you and everybody else on our private little VIP server. And last but not least, I want to let you guys know that finally, I feel like I'm the Rock here, finally we have a ad-free subscription service on Apple Podcasts, if you so choose. And you can go to our feed, go to my page on, just search the WWE podcast on Apple Podcasts. If you're subscribed, you already know. And what you'll notice is where all my episodes are now at the top where my logo is, you'll see you can listen to everything ad free. And right now we only have a couple of episodes up. So it's just over the last couple of days and forward. I'll have to see if I can backdate all the shows we've done. So right now it's just for the shows we have as of a couple of days ago and forward. So yes, you'll get this show. You'll get every show that we are going to do moving forward completely ad free. And you can try it for 3 days and then it's just $2.99 a month. And I know that the majority of people listen on Apple Podcasts. So that is, I think, it's great because you don't have to worry about switching to a different platform or whatever. It's right through Apple Podcasts where you can sign up there and try for a few days. And then, hey, maybe you stick with us for a while because it's not just going to be ad-free there, but I also think that I know that we will be adding exclusive content on Apple Podcasts as well. So just a little tidbit. So check out the subscription right on the page of our show that you're already subscribed to. Okay, let's get to it, guys. Enough of that. I'll be back tomorrow night with your review show with the Botch Guy. YouTube's the Botch Guy, of course, will be joining me here tomorrow night for the official review of Hell in a Cell, likely being put up very late tomorrow night, if not early Monday morning. It's always a late night for yours truly, but I want to make sure you have it up, and it will be tomorrow night. So that's it for me right now, guys. As always, thanks so much for listening. And I will talk to you next time. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Here is your official Hell in a Cell preview and prediction show. And what would a prediction show be without Ashley Mann? It's just the way that things go here. And I promise we don't actually do this on purpose. It just comes out of the universe and into your ears that we have Ashley back on seemingly every preview and prediction show. Ashley Mann, welcome back to the show. How's everything?
Everything is great, Matt. It's funny you bring that back up because that was like the running thing is like every time we did a show was a prediction show. So it's fun to be back on that schedule in that cycle.
It is. It didn't feel right. I mean, I know there was for a little while we were kind of off the rails, and I think we're back on track to have preview and predictions with you exclusively. It seems like, and we have a lot to discuss here, not just with Hell in a Cell, and I absolutely want to get to that, and we will, with a match being taken away and things. So before that, though, I want to touch on some things that happened on SmackDown. Now, I know we have a SmackDown review co-host, and Michael Ruda does a great job. But first of all, since we just saw SmackDown, did you enjoy the show? I personally enjoyed the hell out of it. I thought it was one of the best shows WWE has put on. Maybe the best show WWE has put on in the pandemic era. I know that's not exactly a high bar, but I don't know. Maybe I was in a really good mood. Maybe it was something that I drank beforehand. I don't know. What did you think of SmackDown?
So to be honest with you, I did miss the first 30 minutes of it. So you may have to fill me in there. But for all in all, for the rest of the show, I did enjoy it. The Hell in a Cell match, which I'm sure we'll get into here deeper. it didn't blow me away. I kind of was expecting a little bit more, and part of me thinks if it was still slated to be on Sunday, maybe we would have gotten a different match. Because I'm just so confused by that. But all in all, I thought it was a really good show. But just checking Twitter a little bit, a lot of people seem to really dislike this past episode. So I was really surprised by that. I really enjoyed it myself. So again, you and I must have been drinking the same thing because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, we must have been because. I mean, the ratings were really high, really up for this show. I thought it was a well-booked SmackDown, as we all know, and has been pretty much universally accepted and known that SmackDown has been easily the better show for quite some time now. Obviously, it's shorter. The storylines are easier to follow. You have the brilliance and literally at this point, future Hall of Famer, legendary Roman Reigns at this point. I mean, I don't think that's that's really an understatement to say that what's going on with Roman Reigns is something that we will remember for a long time to come, given how awesome this has been. And now it's almost been a full year since his turn. But let's jump into what the hell happened on SmackDown. The big thing that we want to know what's going on here. Ashley, what do you think the motivations are for WWE to move the Hell in a Cell main event of Rey Mysterio versus Roman Reigns inside Hell in a Cell to SmackDown?
You know, my first thought was someone's coming back. So whether it be Cena or Lesnar, because those are the two, I guess, most heavily rumored to be coming back for the summertime. So that was my first impression. To move your main event, obviously it involves Roman, so you move that to Friday, where you're going to have the most viewers that you pretty naturally have throughout the week. I'm pretty sure Raw doesn't get past 1.4, 1.5, I think, at this point. So, and I think SmackDown normally hovers around 2 million, right? About?
Yep, right
a week,
around
that. Yeah. So, I mean, you have the most eyes on SmackDown. So I was thinking it was going to be like a return, especially when they finished about 5 minutes early. That was the only thing that was, I don't want to say it was a bummer because it was nothing they did, right? I, in my own brain, came up with this concoction that someone was returning. And that was the only logical sense it made for me why they would move it. Because, like I said, that's when you had the most eyeballs. So you plant whatever seed that you want to on Friday, maybe have like another chapter to it on Sunday so you get more subscriptions for Peacock and all that. And then you just let it play on out, whatever it was going to be. But when Roman pretty much just demolished Rey, and then Jimmy came out and pretty much just like aligned with Roman, and nothing out of the ordinary happened. And then once I realized that, okay, it's just Jimmy, like no Lesnar, no Cena, no one else. I was like, okay, well maybe this is Jimmy's moment. Like maybe this is when Jimmy's going to turn on him, right? And then that's the seed that they're going to plant. And that didn't happen either. So that's what I'm saying. Like I have no reason to be disappointed because it's not like they advertised something and didn't deliver, but it's like, and now I'm even more confused because that was pretty much one of the main matches I was looking forward to on Hell in a Cell to begin with, and now that it's over with, it's like the rest of the card is going to be okay, but it's like I don't know, it's just bizarre, man. And within a week, right? Like they just changed it within this past week, so it's just bizarre. What do you think?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think the reason that they did this on SmackDown is in big part to what you just said. that they had nothing special for the finish of this, that everyone knew the outcome, and they thought to themselves, well, let's put this on SmackDown. They're trying to get ratings up prior to fans coming back, and they love themselves some history, don't they? Anytime that they can say they're making history, they will let you know 405 times throughout the show that this is history in the making. It's history, it's history. And it is, to have a Hell in a Cell match on SmackDown, which, I mean, you talk about just completely destroying the myth and the aura of the Hell in a Cell is by not even putting it on a pay-per-view anymore, making its own pay-per-view and then taking it off the pay-per-view and saying that that's not worthy of even the pay-per-view and putting it on free TV. I guess that's a negative way to look at it. But as far as the outcome goes, I think that's a big reason that fans knew how this was going to play out, more than likely. There could have been a return by John Cena or whatnot, but I'm actually not looking for any returns right now until fans come back in about, 3-4 weeks now. To me, you don't do a return in front of digital, LED boards. You don't do it that way. You want it. You want that reaction from a live audience. And I think the returning stars like John Cena or The Rock, which he's rumored later in the year, or Brock Lesnar, you want them in front of a live crowd. And I don't think they had anything particularly special planned for this match, and they just said, well, let's just do it here. And that's really the reason. I don't believe there's another big reason, which means that Roman Reigns is not on the card. He's not on the pay-per-view. So unless he comes out, and let me say this, if Roman Reigns comes out and just starts running his mouth about something for no reason, you know that's setting somebody up for a big return. Mm-hmm. So if maybe that's the only thing, just like you, I was thinking about was, okay, yeah, what's going on for the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view? Maybe Roman's going to come out, just start bragging, and boom, somebody comes
back. But they
didn't
even, dangle a carrot for that either. No. They just, no follow-up message, no nothing. So that's why I'm just, it's so bizarre. And if that's the thing, if that was the only reason, they really did have, a special, they were just going to end it like that, it's isn't that a bigger problem? Mm-hmm. Come on, if that's the true answer, then that's more alarming and more concerning than anything else, in my opinion, because that's, why? Or is it just because you're stalling, you said, until, the fans come back? Or are they just pretty much in, a holding pattern? If that's so, I can't blame them for so much, because you don't want to, blow your... I guess maybe that's the thing, too, right? Maybe, for instance, if Lesnar or Cena is set to come back, maybe they didn't want to do that this past Friday because they're set for that first show back in front of fans for them to return there. So maybe that is it, but... And I guess... I did want to mention this to you, though, because I found it... I guess I don't know why I just figured that all PPVs for WWE were over with, but you realize you can still actually pay for the individual pay-per-view for a Hell in a Cell, for instance. Yep. I was blown.
How much are they charging? Do you know?
I was trying to give you a PG. It was so I have Sling, so I think it was either $44.99 or $49.95.
Who would pay that?
That's exactly my point.
Who's paying
this? I was about to say. So imagine earlier in the week, you were okay, I already know the main events, I already know the card, I'm gonna buy it now. And then you get to this week and then they remove pretty much the top match from the card and you spend $50, bro, I would be livid.
Oh my God. That's four months of the pay, or four and a half months of the network you can get for that price?
Yeah. I was about to say, as much as I hate Peacock, but I would you can get 4 or 5 months out of that. So when I saw that, I was get out of here. And true enough, I could have added it to my bill. And I was this is
I knew
insane.
You still could, but I didn't know the price. I figured they brought the price down to $20 or something.
I guess. And I guess I just assumed when the network rolled out that I don't know why. There's nothing. I'm just me. I guess I just figured they did away with all their pay-per-views. But please don't, if you're listening to this, please don't spend $50 on Hell in a Cell. It's just not worth it. At least get the Peacock or a free trial or something. But I couldn't believe it.
No. Please, we are begging you, do not do that with your money.
You deserve more.
Yeah. Don't do that to your life. You owe it to your soul to not spend $45 on a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I could buy that for the Rumble. Rumble, I would be actually okay with spending that.
It's one of the
big
four or five, sure. Even if it was a pretty crappy lineup, if you're nostalgic, if you're a fan, you have people over, whatever. not this.
Oh my
God. Not this. I was just blown away by that.
That is, no, that's embarrassing. Like anybody, I want to talk to somebody. I'm serious. Anybody that's buying the pay-per-view separately, like please call in. Like I'm asking you to call the
and I would love to see how much, like I may Google this later. I would love to see how much money they generate still from pay-per-view buys. Like,
on the buy rate,
but
yeah.
But the average.
I wonder. I mean, it's got to be on their financials, and their financial statements.
Yeah. And with being a public company, like you figure they have to disclose something like
that. They would have to.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
but anyway,
that's a hell of an interesting fact. But so as far as, again, Roman Reigns goes on SmackDown, I would say, you know, again, the one thing that I was disappointed about was not necessarily that the match was on SmackDown, because this is exactly how I pictured the match going at the pay-per-view. So what I saw was like, okay, yeah, this is exactly what I thought. A couple of hope spots. Rey Mysterio gets his shots in, ultimately just getting destroyed by Roman Reigns, and you know, that's it. I actually was thinking at the end of that match that he was going to, you know, do the ultimate disrespect to Rey Mysterio and pull off his mask. I actually thought that's where they were going to go. And as Roman Reigns at the end of the show last night was staring at Rey Mysterio in disrespect, and he was just going to like show the ultimate sign by pulling off his mask. I was like, that would have been awesome. People would have lost their minds. And as he stands there with Rey Mysterio's mask above his head and also the championship, I don't know. I just envisioned that where they would actually decide to do that. Could you have envisioned that, or do you think they wouldn't have done that?
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I totally could have seen that as well. I don't know. I guess I'm just still kind of confused by the whole thing, but we'll see. And what do you think this means for Rey going forward? Do you think in Dominic? Because I read somewhere else also that Dominic may be injured, or he may be away from TV for a while. So I wonder if this is a way to kind of have them both on the back burner for a little bit.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think that what they're doing is just getting to Roman Reigns' next opponent. They'll move on. I think that they will. They have to move on, because bigger and better things are on the horizon here. I mean, we have SummerSlam around the corner. Obviously, Money in the Bank is next, though. With Money in the Bank in the middle of July, the first pay-per-view back in front of fans, you could have Rey Mysterio be the guy still to challenge one last time. I doubt it. I mean, we've seen after a Hell in a Cell match, like that should be the last time anybody fights one another. That should be the, that's a blow off match. So to me, that should be it. But maybe Jimmy Uso finally steps up and is the last stepping stone before he gets to presumably John Cena. Do you think that's a SummerSlam match?
Roman Reigns and John Cena?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that's more likely than maybe a Reigns and Lesnar right now, because, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but Lesnar still isn't signed with WWE, right? Like
here's the weird thing. I looked at WWE's roster a week ago and he's still on the roster.
Oh, wow. So but didn't they pull his merch like right when, like around the time his contract expired?
Yes, they did. But, and I don't know, and I didn't keep track over the months if he, you know, jumped off and on the rosters page. I just checked only last week and he was there. So, yeah. Okay. So, and the WWE also put out a teaser on their, I think it was Instagram or YouTube, I couldn't remember, where it said anything could happen at Hell in a Cell. And the video to anything happening at Hell in a Cell was Brock Lesnar coming back and whoever he came back to destroy, maybe Roman Reigns or whatever. And so they are aware that the fans know Brock is probably on his way back, and they're teasing us with what we believe is going to happen, which I think will happen. I think Brock will come back in the next probably 30 to 40 days. That's to face, my estimation is Bobby Lashley, but we'll see.
Oh, okay. So you think both Lesnar and Cena will come back for SummerSlam?
Probably. Yeah. And I think that the rumored Rock match with Roman Reigns is probably a November timeframe. If they're going to do a WrestleMania match, you know, a November to April timeframe for a build. I know people are looking at towards, next year, WrestleMania is in LA, WrestleMania 39. The problem is, Rock is not a spring chicken anymore. He keeps himself in great shape, but eventually, you know, time is going to catch up. The other thing is, you know, how do we know Roman's going to be this hot as a heel in, you know, 18 months? Mm-hmm. We don't. I mean, why wouldn't you strike when the iron's hot? So to me, if they're going to do Rock and Roman, it should be this year, because what if they randomly decide, oh, let's turn him babyface? Like, you want it now. You don't know if you're going to get a better scenario. So do you think Rock and Roman is going to happen?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm more thinking that it's going to be at this year's WrestleMania. I don't know why. I just have a weird feeling, but it's part of me is stuck on that. But then part of me could also see them. In my opinion, I don't see either Lesnar or Cena going after Lashley. I think maybe Cena would return first, go against Reigns and have the big story. You know, of course they could plan their past that they have, and then also this would be Cena's 17th reign, right? So they can play up that story as well, to even have more of an effect going into SummerSlam. And then after that, have Lesnar, that my mindset was have Lesnar come after that and then build towards that, towards WrestleMania. But if they do have The Rock, yeah, I see them pulling the trigger. Whenever they, in my opinion, I feel like whenever The Rock says go, they're going to pull the trigger regardless of what else is going on.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of The Rock's schedule at this point. So, but I feel like this would be, I mean, there's no way, of course, I would know, but like, I just feel like this would be the best time, like within this next year, right? For their scheduling wise. Because he, like, there's been talks that he wants to get into politics and like all that stuff. And then with his like 100 businesses that he has going, and then with the XFL starting, I think in 2022. Like, that's, he has a lot on his plate and it's just going to keep growing. So, excuse me. So, I feel like it may be now or never to get it kind of out of the way, for lack of a better word.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
Are you interested in becoming a firefighter? Do you want to know what it takes to be a fireman? Dream of running into a burning building or giving life-saving medications to the sick and injured? Come listen in on the Becoming a Firefighter podcast to join me in the process of joining a fire department. They'll share their experience as they become a firefighter, go through the academy, as well as interview seasoned firefighters who will share their insights and stories on this amazing career field. Listen on Spotify, Google, and most other major podcast platforms. Again, it's the Becoming a Firefighter podcast. Go check it out today.
My name is Mike DeNiro, and I am one third of the New York City rap group, The Lords of Gotham. I am also the host of the Wrestling DeLorean podcast. The Wrestling DeLorean podcast is your one-stop shop for all the news and notes around the wrestling world. We talk about everything from WWE to AEW, Impact Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling, MLW, Ring of Honor, and beyond. But wait, there's more. We also go back in time and discuss all the events and moments that made us all fans. New episodes of the Wrestling DeLorean podcast drop Monday through Friday. Yes, 5 episodes a week. And you can find us wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. So what are you waiting for? Hop into Wrestling DeLorean, strap in your seatbelt, become a passenger of the Wrestling DeLorean podcast, and enjoy the ride, because it is going to be one hell of a good time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to the WWE podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
The Rock, he has his hands in so many different pots. It's mind-boggling. It's unbelievable. He is everywhere doing everything. I really don't know how he does it. And, you know, props to him. And then somehow manages to be a dad and a husband, and somehow manages to stay in the, you know, like Superman shape.
He has just as many videos of him with his girls as him, like, on a plane or working out. You know, it's amazing.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't understand. This guy is seriously superhuman. Yeah. And like you said, though, I think the politics thing, I actually believe he may run in 2024. I mean, he has the backing. I actually think he could win. I know that that's, you know, we're talking politics, but it's The Rock. I think he has a solid chance of winning given his fan base.
I think
base.
It was like a 50, it was like an opinion poll, and there was like 52% of the people who voted, yeah, they would support him. Because I remember just being shocked. I mean, not like blown away, but just like, wow, okay, like this may be a real thing.
Yeah, I think it is. And like you said, like, with that on his plate, with all the other things, yeah, you do it this year. You don't go, well, we can wait till next year. It's in L.A. What a great place. No, I don't care about the venue. Like, you strike when the iron's right. hot. I understand it'd be right. very apropos. It's in L.A. Well, great, all the movies. No.
And with the world, we've learned yeah. that we can't just bank on next year, as sad as that is, you know?
No, you can't. This world's insane. So, yes, you need to do that this year if The Rock can somehow find a way to pull this into his schedule. And be able to promote the match and be there on a semi-regular or via satellite way. You need to do this for sure if it's on the plate. And I think it should be Rock, Roman. And what's funny is, you know, Rock comes back, John Cena comes back. I actually want Roman to beat them both. I mean, whoever he faces, yeah. because Roman is the guy who's going to be here. He's the one who's going to be, you know, there when they're back in Hollywood and, you know, Rock's running for president or making his own movie company, whatever he's doing, or creating a right. whole new Earth. I mean, whatever his projects are, like, that is, that to me, the most important is Roman wins. So, and I think he will. I don't think we'll see Roman drop the belt. We could be talking about this a year from now. I mean, he's still holding
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and not to get too far off here, but it is like, who beats him? You know?
Yep. I don't see anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
It's an amazing problem to have, and it's such a good feeling because Roman's the champion. We hate him because we're supposed to, and it's just like kind of like SmackDown is kind of like a perfect world in WWE land. It's just kind of like everything that you kind of want to happen is happening in a way. So it's like, it's just kind of bizarre, you know? It's so refreshing because then you go to Monday Night Raw and it's like,
it's a wasteland.
Company?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
I'm actually concerned the draft is going to screw up SmackDown.
I know.
You know, like, I don't want them. Don't touch it. But the problem is you have the other extreme on Raw. So that's what, you know, I don't know. Raw's a mess. All right. Well, let's jump into Hell in a Cell here. I know that, you know, we can talk about some other things, like about the women's division, return of Becky Lynch, who's been spotted working out of the Performance Center. I mean, there's a lot of different other stuff outside the cell, and, you know, maybe we can touch that on this after. But let's jump into the card because we obviously had a match get taken off with Roman Reigns and Rey Mysterio. But we have, I think, some really solid matches that have good stories attached to them, even if the outcomes look very predictable. I mean, looking at this, to me, there's only one out of the remaining matches that aren't, you know, that's not a complete lock. So let's start. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. Who's your pick?
You know, as you say that, I'm actually kind of torn on this one. Part of me feels like Cesaro needs this win, even though he did beat Seth at WrestleMania. But part of me is like, Seth kind of needs this win as well. You know, like, I'm torn on whether I feel like Seth is kind of bulletproof at this point or not. And I don't know, maybe you can kind of give me your opinion. Maybe it'll help me form my own. But I'm kind of torn on Seth. I personally, and I know I'm in the minority, I don't hate this version of Seth Rollins. I find him very comical. I think his outfits are ridiculous, and I just find entertainment in that. So I look forward to each week seeing what absurd outfit and tux and everything that he's going to wear. So I just get entertainment out of that personally. And I know I'm in the minority, but so that's kind of why I'm torn on this one. But I think I'm going to go Cesaro. I think Cesaro kind of needs this more long-term than Seth. I feel like Seth, the second they need like a champion, for instance, or a challenger rather, for like, for instance, Roman Reigns, I feel like you can heat Seth up very quickly, and Seth just needs to get on that serious side and he'll be good to go. Whereas Cesaro, yes, we all love him and we know his credibility and all that good stuff, but I feel like he still kind of needs victories. So I would give him this one, but it wouldn't shock me if Seth won by like a quick roll up and like a pull of the tights or like holding the ropes or something crappy like that.
Well, that would certainly be a unique way for WWE to end a match. I mean, I'm sure that they haven't
really considered that. Right, because it never happens, yeah. You know?
Yeah. So once in a while thing. I mean, that'd be really good. Yeah. But so here's, first of all, my pick is Cesaro. I know that's not an interesting pick. He is the favorite, but I think he's a favorite with a good reason. The good reason, the best reason for this is not even the storyline itself that Cesaro should win, which I think he should, but also because WWE is so thin. Paper thin, scary thin on baby faces in general, and over baby faces. They are like, I mean, it's, you look around the landscape,
who's your top babyface? I mean, Drew McIntyre, who is, I think the fans are, would, if they were in person, would start actually turning on him because he's just being used over and over and over, and we'll get there to, in that match. But they are so, so top, or really top heavy with heels, but just absolutely crazy thin with baby faces. So Cesaro needs this win to continue his momentum to wherever they're trying to take him as a baby face. I don't think it's the tippy top. I mean, he went to with Roman, he lost to Roman in what a really great match that they had, but they need to continue to build baby faces. And as great as Seth Rollins is, I think, you know, while he does kind of need to win in this whole thing, because yeah, I know he's the heel, he's supposed to lose because he's the heel, but he could use the win in the same breath. However, Cesaro is the guy that needs it more because the company needs it more. So I think while this is going to be an excellent match, if given enough time, this match could be, as we always say, could be the match of the night. Although I think Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn could also be, and we'll get there next. So certainly I'm looking forward to this match. I'm agreeing with you about the whole outfit thing. I wonder really where he, you know, shops for clothing. Like, where does he get this stuff? Where who's selling this stuff? First of all, like what manufacturing, clothing manufacturer is selling these things? It's awesome.
Someone
it's
said JCPenney, and it just really tickled me because I didn't even realize that they're still in business because all the ones near me like shut down. And
oh,
I was just like, you know what? If it's something basic like that, like even more kudos to him because he's saving money JCPenney, too.
Like, oh my god! Oh, that Lord and Taylor are like, oh my god!
Right, yeah. Burlington, something crazy like that, like. Hey, go for it, dude.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, I do agree that his outfits are so insane. And I actually felt like for a while Seth Rollins was kind of like wallowing and not knowing what he was. He was kind of half the Messiah, half back to what he was as the, you know, burn it down character. And he's kind of found a nice little middle ground of just being obnoxious yet confident. Seems like he's finding his footing nicely right now and is starting to define exactly what he is as kind of this hybrid, not a messiah anymore, but just plain old Seth Rollins as a jerk. It's entertaining. And I think he's coming to who he is. But yeah, I think Cesaro needs the win because the company needs the win.
Yeah, and really quick before we move on, speaking of the draft and everything, real quick, when is the draft or their shakeup, whatever they're calling it?
It is tentatively scheduled right now for the week after SummerSlam.
After someone's okay, gotcha. And not for nothing, I could see Cesaro like getting the victory here and staying, you know, relatively strong, and then being drafted to Raw, and then being a challenger for Bobby Lashley. So I feel like that would be a good fun match. Yep. But yeah, and of course, like he doesn't have to beat Lashley, but just a good like 2-3 month storyline. I feel like MVP could get a lot out of Cesaro as well. So I feel like that could be like a fun matchup too. They would have so many options. I feel just sending Cesaro to Raw, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, they would, and that's why I think they need to make him as strong as possible before that draft happens. Yeah. So if they want a main event contender for Lashley, assuming he's still champion, that they would have that immediately there. So yeah, I agree. The draft is going to be very interesting in a couple months. Okay, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and nothing on the line here other than pride. I mean, these two apparently are just, you know, destined to fight forever. And I'm not. It's weird because typically I'm so tired of when somebody just keeps, you know, being paired with somebody else. I'm so sick of it. You know, we complained about it with King Corbin and Roman Reigns last year. We had Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins last year. Like, there are some really, really egregious examples, and you get tired of it and tired of it. Like, we're just getting tired of Drew and Lashley for the most part. But there's something about these two, and maybe I'm in the minority. I understand that the general rule of thumb is we've seen this before, but they're so good together and they're actually really good friends in real life, as we know, which I think helps their chemistry. And they've had a zillion matches together, but that's also what makes it great is they've had a zillion matches together. So they know each other's moves inside and out. They know, and they're actually more stiff with one another because I think they're closer, which helps. Everything about these two just works with me. I understand there's no title on the line. And I expect Kevin Owens, by the way, my pick is Kevin Owens to go over here. So there it is. And I expect Sami Zayn to continue to talk about conspiracy theories. And I would love for him, and I've said this for months, I hope that the documentary is actually a thing and it's not just,
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I hope it actually is something even that's going
to
air on the WWE
Network.
Yeah.
Now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So my pick is Kevin Owens and what's going to be, as always, just a very good match.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, dude, I'm right there with you 100%. And I actually agree with you as well. Kevin Owens and Sammy, we've seen this match dozens of times on the main roster. And it's just, oddly enough, one of those that doesn't get old. And like you said, it may have to do with the chemistry they have since they are, you know, real life friends and have been for decades, I feel like. So, yeah, I agree with you. This is going to be a really good and solid match as well. But after this, I know it's probably not going to happen, but I wish they would send Kevin Owens to NXT. I just feel like that would be such a good, like, just a good wake-up for his character and just, like, just refreshing. And I feel like NXT could really use someone like him as well. He could go against Cross and all that, but I just feel like he just, no matter, because he's kind of one of those where we're like, each year we're like, okay, yeah, once the shakeup or the draft happens and Kevin moves to Raw or to SmackDown, like, you know, this would be like a revamp for his character and they'll give him a push and all that good stuff. And it's just like, I feel like it never happens for some reason. Or like he gets hot and then they just kind of fade him to the back for whatever reason. And I know he just had that run with Reigns and everything and you can only do it so much. But I don't know, like part of me just feels like Kevin is just being, maybe, I don't know if underutilized is the right word, but it's just like, he's such a rare talent, and like for his look and just like how different he is and his mic skills, like he's so underutilized, maybe on the mic, if nothing else. But yeah, I just kind of wish he could go to NXT and just kind of change things up there. But I don't know.
I feel like Kevin Owens is, what makes him so great is he feels authentic. He doesn't feel like he's playing wrestler or playing a wrestling character. He's just Kevin effing Owens. And that's, I think, one of the appeals to his character is he's just him. And I believe that that's who he is, just turned up. And that's what makes any wrestling, quote, wrestling character really good. And what I think is the problem with Owens is you're pointing out about him kind of just being recycled and occasionally touching the main event and coming back down. I think that he has realized, and the fans have realized, that what his ceiling is, or how management views the ceiling on what a Kevin Owens should be. And that's a guy that is the upper mid card, visits the main event, and once in a blue moon may win the championship, but then gets to find back down into like the upper mid card. He's not in that quote top tier. He's in the top tier that's just below the top tier. And I don't think that management ever views him in that upper top, you know, of the mountain type of character. And I agree. I think he could do wonders at NXT. He's mentioned many times that he would love to go back to NXT. He's made, you know, he hasn't been a secret about that, but management won't let him go back because they're, you know, really light on star power. Like, you could argue he's probably the top babyface on SmackDown.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So your pick is Kevin Owens?
Kevin. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, here comes another match that, you know, it seems like this is a foregone conclusion, and maybe you can sell me differently, as we always screw each other's picks up and on one of them and then look like fools with what we should have just stuck with. Right. Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler. You first.
Yikes, man. I was hoping you were going to go first.
I'll take it if you want.
No, it's okay. Cool. It's just my heart doesn't want to say Alexa Bliss because of Shayna, you know, because it's Shayna.
Yeah.
And part of me can't even like mouth the words, but I feel Alexa Bliss is going to win. And I don't know, man. I hope I'm terribly wrong, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. Part of me feels like maybe we won't even get an end to this match. Maybe something like spooky is going to happen. I don't know, but yeah, I don't even know what to expect. I don't know. And is like I said, as much as I hate to say it, I feel like Alexa Bliss is taking this one, and I don't know what it means for Shayna, to be honest with you.
So here's what the conundrum is with me. Now, first of all, my pick is Alexa Bliss. That's not the interesting part. The interesting part to this is more Shayna Baszler, because while we were all, and when I say all, the collective we of fans were getting a little bit tired of her being hidden in a tag team with Nia Jax, and we all knew that she can be better than what she was being booked as, taking stupid pinfalls on a weekly basis, and we want the killer, Shayna Baszler, back. And she started to come back. We saw what happened on Raw a couple of weeks ago with her coming out and confronting Lily and Alexa and stomping on the doll and that whole conundrum that WWE acknowledged the following week by really saying there's a lot of complaints about what Lily did. I mean, we all obviously knew what that meant. So Lily's in timeout. So hopefully Lily does not make an appearance or interfere in this match. That would be foolhardy to do that. So it's weird, though. My conundrum is this. Shayna Baszler is the one that we've talked about so long. We're like, you know, let her loose. Take the chain off. Let her go nuts. Start snapping arms. That's the Shayna Baszler we know and we love, even as a heel. And so now she's solo. But the problem is she's solo against Alexa Bliss in a company that has elevated Alexa Bliss to the top of the division, even though she doesn't have the championship. And they've put so much time into Alexa that you know the company's probably going to put over Alexa at the expense of Shayna, who's newly solo. It's like out of everyone that Shayna could have faced, Alexa Bliss would have been the last person on my list first off. So that's the conundrum is I'm happy for Shayna being solo. We're all waiting for it, but it has to be against Alexa Bliss, who you know she's going to pull some kind of hocus pocus, maybe do her transformation or whatnot, and Shayna will lose this match. I don't see Alexa Bliss losing. And that's the sad part. So yeah, Alexa wins by hook, crook, or you know, magic tricks. So
yeah, definitely.
It's tough. So okay, Raw Women's Championship. This one I have trouble with, and I know some people don't. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. Do you want me to go first on this?
You go first on this one.
Okay. all right. So. Who do I? My heart is torn because I want Charlotte to win, but I think Rhea will win. So I'm going to go with what my brain is telling me in Rhea Ripley retaining. And I actually am not of the belief that Rhea Ripley has had a good run at all since WrestleMania. In fact, I would give it like a D rating. Not a complete failure, but not good at all. I think the way that, and it's not really due to Shayna or Rhea herself. Because I think Rhea is very talented. We all like her look. I think most do. At least she's different, much different than all the other women. And she's good in the ring. She is capable of cutting good promos, although WWE hasn't really allowed her to yet. So I think that I'd give it a D rating from really inception after WrestleMania. And I think Charlotte Flair has been on fire for the most part. She returned with a blaze of glory. And then has been kind of hit and miss, taking weird roll-up victories and trading them with Asuka and, you know, losing to Nikki Cross in 2 minutes, you know, all that weird stuff. But in general, I think Charlotte Flair should be the one to carry the belt right now. I don't think they'll do it, though. I think Rhea is the one that they're going to continue to stick it out with, make that WrestleMania championship victory mean something, and not send the message to the fans that, oh yeah, we screwed up. This Rhea Ripley experiment's not working out. Let's give it to the champion here that we, to Charlotte Flair. So Rhea's my pick because I think they will, but not because I want it to.
Okay. So this is where we're going to differ slightly. All right. So
shoot.
I pretty much agree with you though, but I feel like they are going to pull the trigger, and I think they're going to have Charlotte go over. I was sitting here just trying to think of what number this would make it, though. It would be like 13 or 14, like times she's held the title.
Yeah, I'll something Google like that. Yeah, yeah.
So something like that, yeah. So because I was concerned that she was too close to 16 already. But I don't think we're I think she may be like 13 or 14. But anyway, I think that especially with them going back on the road very soon, I feel like they, for two reasons, they need a strong women's champion and a strong representation for Raw going forward. And I think Charlotte is that. And I feel like also if the rumors are true and Becky is coming back soon, I feel like that's a good go-to setup. Whereas, first of all, Rhea's a babyface for the most part, especially going against Charlotte. So you wouldn't want Becky to come back and then go right against a babyface. And I think Rhea's not strong enough as a character to turn full heel right now and be that strong against Becky. Maybe in a couple of years, but they just haven't built her up right now to go against Becky, in my opinion. So I feel like, and just going forward, I feel like there would be more options with Charlotte. I feel like it wouldn't be too detrimental to take it off Ripley right now because it's Charlotte. You know, at the end of the day, you know, everyone, I hate to say it, but everyone gets beat by Charlotte. So if she does lose the title, she at least it's going to be to Charlotte Flair, a bona fide Hall of Famer going forward. And she can have that Chase storyline playing throughout the summer, throughout the summer. And maybe to lead up to SummerSlam and then finally have her big moment there in front of fans and have that good feel, that feel-good moment. So, and actually build her the proper way. So, I don't know, that's just my mindset going forward. Now, they may have a completely different idea and everything. So, I don't know. And of course, with the shakeup, too, that could have a big play into things. But that's just my mindset right now.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
My name is Mike De Niro, and I am one third of the New York City rap group, The Lords of Gotham. I am also the host of the Wrestling DeLorean podcast. The Wrestling DeLorean podcast is your one-stop shop for all the news and notes around the wrestling world. We talk about everything from WWE to AEW, Impact Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling, MLW, Ring of Honor, and beyond. But wait, there's more. We also go back in time and discuss all the events and moments that made us all fans. New episodes of the Wrestling DeLorean podcast drop Monday through Friday. Yes, 5 episodes a week. And you can find us wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. So what are you waiting for? Hop into Wrestling DeLorean, strap in your seatbelt, become a passenger of the Wrestling DeLorean podcast, and enjoy the ride because it is going to be one hell of a good time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to the WWE podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Yeah, there's a case to be made. This is why I said this one is the most confusing to me, because a case can be made solidly for both women. Because I think that while Charlotte is the kind of the consummate constant champion, Rhea Ripley, you could argue, didn't really get a fair shake yet. You know, she's only been champion for what, 4.5 months, or 2.5 months rather. So there is certainly a case to be made to say, hey, let's flesh this out. Let's see what happens when we get her back in front of fans. Maybe things turn around for her. But you're right. With Becky Lynch on the horizon, and she is on the horizon, and I've always pointed to a SummerSlam first match back with for Becky since she had her baby in early December. That gives her, 9 months home? That's great. And so I think that you could make a case that people would not want to see Becky Charlotte because they've seen it so many damn times. And it's been a hot minute, though, since we have seen them lock up. But when's the last time we saw Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch? I mean, there's a totally new matchup, at least on the main roster, to my knowledge, of those two going head to head. easily Rhea Ripley could be a heel. You could argue right now she's a heel. This match right now, and you know what? I would make the argument right now that this match on tomorrow night is heel versus heel. I don't understand how we're supposed to get behind Rhea Ripley. She attacked Charlotte from behind on Monday night. Yes, Charlotte returned the favor. I understand that. But she's not endearing. She's coming across obnoxious, standing at ringside laughing like a schoolgirl about Charlotte losing. There's nothing right now that is making me go, yay for Rhea. I think she's a great talent. I just think that they don't know what the hell to do with her character. She's so back and forth. And I listen to the pumped in audio because that's always your cue as to what they are trying to book her as. And it's mixed. It's kind of, you hear some cheers and then it's like heavy boo and then heavy boo. And then it kind of fades to cheers. It's all over the place, which tells me they don't even know. But I would argue this is heel versus heel tomorrow night. And I guess we're supposed to cheer for Rhea because it's not Charlotte who's always champion. But to me, Charlotte is the baby face in this match because what has she done that is dastardly? What has she done that I'm supposed to dislike her for? She does exactly what she says she's going to do. I think she's much more likable right now than Rhea. I don't care if she tells me to bow down to her. She says that her whole career. I'm over that. That's not a heel generating statement anymore. So I'm all for Charlotte winning, but I think that they would view Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley and maybe probably Charlotte, because Charlotte likes to inch her way into triple threats when it should just be one-on-one. I think it's probably a triple threat with those three at SummerSlam. So that's my thought.
So when do you think Becky's coming back then? When do you have Becky
live crowd
back?
All these returns, I all wait until the live crowd come back. Maybe it could be that the first Monday Night Raw back in front of fans, which, let me look at my calendar here, is July 19th. So exactly 1 month from right now.
Do you know where that first show is going to be at, by chance?
Ooh, it's in Texas.
That makes sense.
I don't know if it's Austin or Dallas, one of the big cities, but they're in Texas for a while. So,
should be a good crowd though.
Oh God, I can't wait. I cannot wait. And I hope that people aren't afraid to come back. I hope that it is a packed house. I would think it is. So
yeah, well, I think especially Texas, they've been open longer, so I think they're pretty much used to like getting back to everyday life now. So I think more people are going to be amped to show up there than anywhere else right now. But yeah, dude, I could see that because you have to feel like they're going to build that first show back up as big as they can. You know,
they want to, and I don't blame them. I have said since the pandemic started.
They should.
It's been, 15, 16 months since March of 2020 at that point. So I have said since this whole thing started, you know, that once the fans are back, they should really treat it like WrestleMania because it is truly people don't understand how big of a deal this is to have fans back. It's not just pumped in audio noise. It's not just LED boards. You're going to have live human beings reacting, and we all kind of forget what that's like. And we are all kind of sitting in our seats wondering, WWE's been telling us to cheer or boo for this and that. What do real live, you know, flesh and blood human beings think of this? You know, and that's going to be the most interesting thing to me, and it brings the soul back to wrestling. So yeah, they're going to make this massive. I expect big returns, certainly for SmackDown and for Raw, following the very first time that they're in front of fans. I think they're going to make it huge, and they should. So, all right, let's get to it. We only have two more matches on the card here. SmackDown Women's Championship, Bianca Belair versus Bayley. This is inside Hell in a Cell. This match essentially took place of the Rey Mysterio and Roman Reigns match that's inside the cell. And as I'm thinking of it, I am also going to add to my reason why they took away Roman and Rey off the pay-per-view inside the cell, so that they could also give the women an opportunity to have a Hell in a Cell match. Because I'm fairly sure, as I'm looking at it, yeah, Rhea and Charlotte is not inside the cell. So I think that they wanted to also kind of give the women an opportunity here. And I actually think that Bianca and Bayley is somewhat deserving of the cell, even more than Rey Mysterio and Roman. I don't think it's just a consolation prize, throw you a bone, we're going to do it just because we have to. I actually think this is going to be really fun inside the cell. So I'll let you go first.
No, I agree. And Bayley is such a solid worker that this is almost like a perfect opponent for Bianca to go inside of a hell, or yeah, in the Hell of a Cell with, because Bayley she's just, man, perfected this character within the past few months, and it's just like, it's just amazing to see like her growth and her transition. It's just fun to think back and like how she started, just like this little, just like happy to be here, like
shy
ponytail.
Yeah,
it's just amazing to see. Like, yeah, it would be cool to see like her documentary, like just like to see it encapsulated. So, but yeah. So I feel like this is gonna be a really solid match. I could see them going 20-25 minutes, honestly. Especially since, you know, like I said, we said the other match has been taken away, so they'll have more time. But yeah, I think this is gonna be really good. And I kind of feel like Bianca's gonna want to prove something in this match as well, since they'll have more freedom to get more rough and to kind of go outside of the boundaries, so to say. I feel like Bianca is really going to want to prove something here, so I'm excited for it. And I think that Bayley is going to pull a lot out of Bianca as well, so I feel like this is going to be a really good match, but Bianca retains here and just moves forward.
Yes, there's no question to me about the outcome of this match, and that's okay. That's okay that this one is Bianca. It should be Bianca. I would argue really solidly that Bianca is doing a much better job as champion than, or at least being booked as, way better than Rhea Ripley is being booked on Raw.
For sure.
It's not even close. Sure. Bianca feels like a champion. She looks and has more of a demeanor as a champion. She feels like she has more of a direction. There's just something
she
way
just
better.
She carries herself as a champion.
Yes.
It's the whole presentation.
It's almost like Rhea, and again, no disrespect to her. First of all, I didn't know she was 24 years old. Like, that's so
young.
Isn't that
young.
Insane? When she said, I'm like, yeah, she's probably like, you know, 30, 31. And on her graphic, when she was entering, coming down the ring this week, I'm like, what the F? Like, what?
Yeah.
She's 24? So she has a lot of growing to do. She has a hell of a career in front of her. I absolutely believe that she will eventually make it to the Hall of Fame, as long as she doesn't get injured or something, you know, barring something else. But Bianca Belair is... she is just it's working so well for her as champion. I love how they've kind of booked her, and again, how the hell they've taken the ultimate heel persona of saying you're the EST of everything. Like, I mean, it doesn't get more egotistical than that. Like, how are you saying you're the fastest,
no,
you're the strongest, you're the
not
best,
everyone
you're the,
pulled it off.
Like, how the hell, I mean, only Bianca Belair could pull that off and also make it endearing, and you're trying to you're also getting behind her. If anybody told me that they're EST, I would have just, you know, flip them, you know, read between the lines, my friend. Like, just F you. I mean, no. Bianca has done a masterful job of being champion. And credit to the creative as well. Now, could I do without the, I had to overcome my bullies and all that stuff that basically Braun Strowman regurgitated during his promos leading up to WrestleMania, that apparently all the WWE superstars just got bullied throughout their entire lives. I mean, like, we've all dealt with it, but I don't need the soft little, you know, bedtime story about how people were so mean to me and I overcame it. Like, it's too honey and sugar for me, like too sweet. It's too family huggable, you know, sing around a fire, kumbaya stuff. I'm not a fan of that stuff.
Yeah.
I understand why they do it, but it's just so transparent of what they're trying to make me feel. Like, stop it. Just stop. However, I'm still way behind Bianca. I love what she's doing. Very endearing. And I think they're going to have a hell of a match, no pun intended, inside the cell. And I could expect that they could easily steal the show as well. I mean, they are that good. And yes, Sasha is possibly in the mix here, maybe closer to SummerSlam. We haven't seen her since her loss. But I think this is going to be a Bianca victory. Bayley might stick around for another month, maybe to get through to SummerSlam. Maybe Bianca versus Bayley versus Sasha, a triple threat for the championship at SummerSlam. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this match. It's been a great story. And this to me, I'm really high on this. This is probably going to be the semi-main event. I mean, I think it easily, I think it could main event the show actually, but we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And that, like you said there, I kind of wonder though, if they don't go right back to Bayley, who Bianca moves on to, if it's not Bayley or Sasha. Because at first I was thinking maybe Carmella, but she just lost to Liv Morgan, so I don't really know who would be there to follow up with Bianca.
She's too busy being beautiful. I mean, she's too busy, you know, doing her stripper dance before she comes. Don't even get me started.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. It is such a regression. It's everything that the women moved away from and they're bringing back, right? Like, yeah. Yeah. I like looking at pretty women because this is what I'm a guy, but I am all for the women and what they've done in wrestling, and I love how far they've come and moved away from, you know, Playboy pillow fights and bra and panties matches and all that stuff that really made the women a bathroom break or just objectified them. And the Divas Championship era was really kind of bad too. I mean, the Divas Championship, we all know, is a joke, but they did such great strides. And all of a sudden, they're bringing back, look at my body. Oh my God, look how sexy I am. That's exactly what we wanted to move away from. This is the exact opposite goal. And yet they're just making now Carmella super, like, superficial and all about her looks. And that is, I don't know. It's
Then you have Eva Marie back on Raw. You have Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. So it's just like, what are we doing? Why? I don't know, dude. It's bizarre. But that's why I'm concerned, because we're moving in the wrong direction when it comes to the women's division. And they have, if you were to look at all the females on the roster, they have a deep roster. They just haven't, of course, utilized them correctly. And there's just no plan. It's just kind of getting back to that era where it's just like meeting a quota. Like, okay, well, we have to have at least one women's match on the show or something like that. And it hasn't gotten as bad in the past, so I'm not trying to be dramatic or anything, but it's just like, what are we doing? You know, it's making you nervous a little bit, you know?
Look at what they did with Lashley. I mean, they're bringing in essentially, without actually saying it, prostitutes.
And it doesn't even, it feels awkward with him. Like, it doesn't even, in my opinion, yeah. That doesn't even fit him as the character, you know?
He doesn't look comfortable.
Just, I don't know.
Maybe
MVP, but not him, character-wise.
Yeah,
know?
MVP is much better suited to be sitting around, like on a couch and just...
Exactly.
The MVP lounge. I mean, that's exactly what it feels like. And Lashley, I know what they're trying to do with the... understand
for sure.
Why. Oh, you know, he's just gloating about, look at all these women and Goldie. Oh,
I get it, yeah.
But it's
that part just feels forced.
Yeah, and I think it's, again, a reflection of the women and how WWE presents the women. It's just a continuation of sexualizing and objectifying the women. And I've said this. I understand that they are not actually active competitors. They're just kind of eye candy that we're supposed to somehow feel anger towards Lashley that he can get all these women and, you know, I can't. Is it jealousy we're supposed to feel for this? I think it's more of just, to me, adding to the regression of what they've done with the women. Because, yes, they're not active competitors, but they're still freaking women on the show that you are telling me are there to just simply entertain.
And it's representation,
Lashley.
You know?
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't want to get started on that. But, okay, Lashley, speaking of which, versus Drew McIntyre, inside Hell in a Cell. I'm going to let you decide if you want me or you to go first, if you feel confident.
Yeah, I'll go first with this one. I feel like, and again, this is one that I wouldn't be shocked either way, but I do feel confident with my decision on this one. I'm going with Lashley. At least I hope so. And maybe this is just me hoping I'm going to be right with this, but and just wanting this to happen. But I just kind of, I want Drew to move on to something else. And I want Lashley to move on to something else because I want Lashley to really be able to I don't want to say prove his title reign, but just substantiate it with someone other than Drew being involved. And I just feel like he needs something to really freshen his character up, for lack of better words, and to just prove that he's not just like a transitional champion or anything like that. And again, that's dramatic, and I know he's defended it a couple times, but it feels like he is just like one long title defense, in my opinion. And I guess maybe I'm tainted by Raw every week, just kind of feeling like the same, or just like 3 hours of the same thing every week. But I'm just kind of over them feuding. And don't get me wrong, I feel like this is going to be a really good match, and especially in a cell. Like, I feel like it's going to get pretty brutal and rough in there. So I think this is really going to be a good match. But I'm ready for Lashley to just win definitively, be done with it, move on, and have Drew move on to something else. Because I feel like Drew, as much as I was maybe concerned a few months ago about him not being in the title picture if he wasn't the champion, I feel like they can find something for him to do. I feel like he's a strong enough character now where he's proven himself, for lack of better words, and he doesn't really need the title right now, and he can move on to, they can make up something for him, or he can take like a few weeks off and then come back, or whatever. But I just feel like he can move on and do something else, but Lashley needs to retain this title, he needs to move on, and I feel like he needs to be champion for at least 6 months plus, just to really solidify that, and he, besides the fact that he deserves it, of course. But yeah, I really hope he wins here, and so he can move on to SummerSlam and have a big time title defense there. But I'm going with Lashley. What about you?
Yeah, this one, if I was going to bet money on any of these matches, this is such a foregone conclusion. But it's the right move, it's the right move for Lashley to win. For so many reasons, not just, well, you know, we need to move McIntyre to something else, which is absolutely the case. We need, and WWE has to move McIntyre to something beyond driving for the championship. He needs to get into a personal program. I want him to care about revenge. I don't want him to always care about the championship, because if this was in front of fans, imagine if this was in front of an audience tomorrow night. I actually believe the fans would be like 60-40 against Drew or more, because the fans are ready for Bobby Lashley to take this as far as he can go. They're tired of an 18-month chase with Drew, which has been, I mean, it's literally been 18 months since he won the Rumble of 2020. It has been that long since he's been chasing it. He carried it for a while. He dropped it to Randy at last year's Hell in a Cell, got it back 3 weeks later, and then he's been in and out, just constantly in the championship picture, which is also is a perfect example of how thin their roster is as babyfaces go. I mean, that's the only reason they keep going to Drew. They got nowhere else to go. So, but not only just that reason, which is a good reason, but if Brock Lesnar is truly going to be on the horizon for Bobby Lashley, then you need to make him look as strong as humanly possible. I don't need any interference from MVP. I don't need any hook or crook wins from Lashley. I want a clean victory from Bobby Lashley. No questions, nothing left to the imagination. It is all Lashley on this one, and it needs to be, where he decimates Drew, maybe even bloodies him. I mean, maybe they're able to even get some color on him. Maybe if they're able to, I mean, it's a pay-per-view. It's not on network television. So perhaps they can push the envelope a little bit further and get some blood on Drew. I don't know.
But which would mean so much, because it never happened. So it's like, now's the perfect time to really, like you said, put him over.
It is. And the only thing I have with that is, well, if they did that, that would signal, well, they would continue the program. And they can't continue the program because of the stipulation. So as I just talked myself out of that. But we all are ready for this to be over. It feels like this has been going on forever, and it has. So yes, Lashley goes over. I don't think there's any question. Lashley stands tall. Do you think this closes the show, though, given how predictable this match is? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. If nothing else, for for default reasons, because like you said, I could definitely see them having Bianca Belair and Bayley close out, and then that would kind of kill two birds with one stone, have a good match, which we pretty much can guarantee is going to happen with the people who are involved, and then you're pretty much guaranteeing Bianca's going to win. So it's kind of a win-win there, but I don't know how they would feel about having the women main event Hell in a Cell pay-per-view itself. So yeah, I'm thinking they're going to stick with Lashley and Drew, but it'd be nice to see them switch it up for a change.
I think, yeah, and I think that to me, with an outcome so predictable, and it, you know, it's going to be a great match, it's fine, it's going to be physical, all that kind of stuff, but with an outcome that's so predictable, perhaps you do move it to the women and give them an opportunity, the main event, because they could also kill it in the ring. And yes, it's pretty obvious that Bianca Belair is going to win, but if you're splitting hairs here, and the if all is equal, you know the outcome for both, it's not a matter of who's going to win, I would give the opportunity to the women. I mean, like, if there's no other factors, let the women have the main event. I mean, that's how I would look at it. And I think that they're deserving of it. That program's been pretty damn good over on SmackDown with most of everything else. So unless they have a Brock Lesnar return, which after Lashley decimates Drew, the Cell is raising and he's holding the championship, you hear Brock Lesnar's music hit, which I would highly recommend against. I would strongly advise against. Why would we do this in a LED board environment? You don't want that to happen. So I know people are, oh, Brock, no. You've only got 4 weeks.
So close.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, can we just wait 4 weeks? You've waited, what, over a year since he's last had his match?
And then that kind of plays into, right. And then it plays into your theory. If that is like what everyone is saying is correct, but if, you know, they didn't want Roman and Rey to be on the pay-per-view because it was so predictable, then if you don't want it to be on that, like, it's just, I don't know, like, why would you blow such a big moment when no one's going to be there, you know? Like, when you had the opportunity to have a big match on the pay-per-view, but you took that away for a particular reason. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
especially with Lesnar, since he's technically not with the company. Maybe that he is with the company. Like, there's a lot of unknowns. So,
That'd be foolish.
Yeah,
that'd be so stupid to put him on the last pay per view of the pandemic era, or as they call it, the Thunderdome era, and you blow a massive return of Brock Lesnar, and really in front of just, you know, screens.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, come now, on. They can't do it.
Yeah, unless their mindset is to kind of play devil's advocate, maybe they're thinking if there's buzz and spark that Lesnar's back, you have him return Sunday, he's there Monday, he's not there the following week, and then he returns again on that first live show back, because then you can advertise him, everyone's going to tune in, like, more ticket sales, so maybe you can go that route. I don't know.
So that's a good point, that they could market him and absolutely drive up not just ticket sales, which I don't know if they're sold out in where are they, Austin or wherever, whatever venue in Texas that they're going to for Raw, that first one back. But that would help. I mean, if they're already sold out, it wouldn't matter. But at the same time, you're right. You'd want to maybe advertise Brock Lesnar ahead of time, even though we all love our surprises. But I think it would help with TV ratings.
Yeah, you can pack another surprise. Like, Lesnar is your guarantee, and then Cena. You have those eyes, and then, yeah, you have your Cena or your Becky or whoever else, you know?
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, I think fans sitting at home would rather have a surprise, and fans sitting in an arena. We all love our surprises, but if I'm WWE and I'm a business and I want to make sure the TV ratings are as high as possible, maybe you do just kind of at the sacrifice of a surprise, try to advertise Brock to elevate the TV rating. Yeah, I mean, there's your argument, is simply TV ratings. That is, yeah, that's the one argument to bring him back tomorrow night. But as a fan sitting there, I don't want to see LED boards cheering. I mean, people sitting in their living rooms or, you know, in their bathroom, wherever the hell they are. I don't need to see, like, I want real people there. So, all right. So that covers the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, the final pay-per-view of this just depressing pandemic era. And we will never again, hopefully, need to use the Thunderdome ever again for any reason. And I think that this is, as we kind of come to a close here on the pandemic era, I'm not trying to start a huge conversation, but what are some of your big takeaways, I guess, or moments that you remember here over the last, my God, 15, 16 months since we all started that first Monday Night Raw back with God Almighty Stone Cold coming out to nobody, which feels like forever ago. The aura of that first show of, oh my, wait, they don't have anybody there. I remember that feeling. Like, this is real. If it gets to Vince, you know it's serious.
Right. So, if it affects WWE, you know it's real.
Yeah. So do you have anything that you're, like, looking back as just things you'll never forget about this, the Thunderdome or pandemic era?
Man, there's just, in a way, it feels like it just blew by, but in a way it feels like it's been like just 5 years. So it's just like a bizarre feeling. But I think the positive coming out of it will be, as much as I had hoped that they were going to like embrace the creative side more and give the wrestlers more freedom and just kind of take more chances in that respect, I do appreciate the fact that, for instance, like a Roman Reigns, I don't feel like Roman Reigns, with the character that he is now, I don't feel like he would have been able to truly embrace who he is right now as a character with a live fan or live fans being there. I feel like, not that he wouldn't have delivered it or he wouldn't have had the same message or anything like that, but I just feel like it wouldn't have impacted us the same way. I don't feel like we would have felt it or maybe appreciated it as much, because I feel like the fans would have been heckling him or just, I just don't feel like it would have hit the same way. So I feel like in a weird way, it was kind of a blessing in disguise for his character to come back. And I want to get your take on this really quick and see what your opinion is. But I would love to know the real reason behind finally pulling the trigger with him and letting him, after his battle with leukemia and everything like that, where I'm pretty sure I said somewhere, if not multiple places, like, they'll never turn him heel now. Like, he's the ultimate babyface. Like, there's just no chance for him ever being a heel. And then he's gone for a few months and then comes back. And like they said, you'll never see it. Like, I think I'll remember SummerSlam the most and Roman Reigns as a whole. And just, like, you'll never see it coming. And of course, they were right. But so I guess my question to you, besides your answer to this also, would be, what do you think was the final straw that Vince was finding, like, you know what, let's just go all forward and let's just do this? And then, of course, the cinematic matches as well. And not all of them were hits, but I think starting off with the Boneyard match with Undertaker and AJ Styles, which feels like forever ago, in my opinion, I think that was a fun avenue that they took, and I feel like it really helped the career for, like, an Alexa Bliss and, like, a Bray Wyatt. I think we did get a lot of pros out of this past year and a half, we'll say, but the downside, in my opinion, I wish WWE would have embraced creativity more and just would have just taken advantage of not really having any rules during this time in a way.
Yeah, no, this is, I mean, there's so many ways you could talk about this, and it's hard not to dive in because there's just so many different things that came out of this, good and bad. And I actually was going into this pandemic era, I remember saying, you know, look, I actually don't want WWE to put their best foot forward. I said that because I don't want them to blow great storylines on nobody there. I said that, and I continue to stand by that because fans add so much to the experience and to the moment and to the story that, you know, if you put your best foot forward, you could blow it for no reason. And then you go back to fans and you don't have that ace in the hole anymore to go to. So I was always of the belief, don't do big returns. Don't do, you know, whatever you got in your, you know, your number one spot. Don't do that. You know, keep things good, but also don't use your ace in the hole. And for the most part, they've definitely done that. And, you know, looking to what I remember, I mean, yes, Roman Reigns, number one, no doubt. I mean, how can anyone forget the beloved Retribution chain sawing the ropes and all of the beloved Raw Underground segments and all that kind of stuff, just which will go down
that
as
never
one
happened.
Of, yeah, yeah. It, that will go down as probably single-handedly, both simultaneously as the worst storylines maybe ever. I mean, not just pandemic era, but up there with Katie Vick. I mean, it's there. So that I'll remember. And as far as why they decided to pull the trigger with Roman when they did, you know, I think the crowd not being there was a big factor in that, because Roman left, as we all remember, he left for the during the pandemic. He was gone for what, six, from just before WrestleMania to SummerSlam. And that gave him, obviously, time with his family. That probably got his creative juices going. And we'll eventually learn whose idea this was, eventually. We don't know now because they're in the middle of it. You don't spill the beans right now. You wait it out until this is fleshed out and Roman's maybe on the back end of his career. And we'll find out then. And I'm sure we'll get an awesome story. But no fans there. There's really low risk because you can narrate the reaction. Like you said, Roman doesn't have to worry about the heckling and the distraction of the audience, how people are going to react, because everything's very controlled. We got feedback at WrestleMania. People were booing Roman. Real people were booing Roman. They weren't ironically cheering him for doing a good job, which is great. They gave him the best compliment that they could give him in booing him. I think that him being able to hone his craft in essentially an echo chamber of or really not an echo chamber, where he could just, an isolation tank is what I was going for, where he could just do what he wants and understand who he is and what he is without the distractions of the outside world. That really helped him without putting too much pressure on him in front of a live audience. And now he's ready to go back. I think he's more than ready to go back to that live crowd. So that is, to me, the biggest takeaway, obviously, is the Roman Reigns heel turn, the cinematic matches. In general, I hated. In general, I mean, I just flat out just couldn't stand them. They were, I mean, I'm not even going to get into it. They were awful for the most part. Really, at the pinnacle of it was the Money in the Bank match last year in the corporate.
Your favorite.
I mean, that was, you know, I don't think I ever have the stomach to watch that again. I don't think I've seen a lot of crap in my 25 years of wrestling. That was by far the worst thing I've ever seen ever, was that match. Last year at Money in the Bank. Of course, we've seen the swamp fight with Bray and Braun Strowman. The Boneyard match, which was, for what it was, you know what? It was The Undertaker's last match. It's fine. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to trash that match. But the cinematic crap I will never miss, ever. But Roman turning heel, number one.
Right on.
Well, this has been a blast, Ashley. Did you have anything else? I mean, we didn't really touch on RK-Bro or anything like that, or John Morrison, or, you know, Monday Night Raw. But as far as the product goes, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up before we say goodbye?
No, nothing in particular. I mean, we could probably go like a whole another hour on so many different things. So nothing in particular. I guess since you brought up RK-Bro, like, of course, that's what I'm living for on Raw every week. It's just... Riddle's just amazing. He's like a guilty pleasure type thing. So I just, yep. I'm digging in that. That's literally like the highlight of Raw for me. So yeah, if nothing else, we'll just end it on a high note. Yeah,
nope. No, let's end it on a high note, because absolutely, like, they're the life support of Raw. They have kept Raw from not being completely demolished on a weekly basis. They are the highlight. And I think an unexpected one. I don't think WWE expected these two to have this kind of chemistry on air. And, you know, it's undeniable the chemistry that these two have. And I hated Riddle until he found Randy, and he found his other half. I mean, he really did.
He
found his soulmate. I hope they don't drop the bomb and somebody attacks, you know. I don't want, you know, Randy to RKO Riddle. I don't want Riddle to attack Randy. Like, let's just let this thing live.
Yeah.
I think that the merchandise is going to do well. I don't want Randy to turn. I know we're all seeing the RKO coming. Just let it be. Let it be. They're doing awesome. So yes, certainly RK-Bro is keeping Raw alive. So, all right. Well, that then concludes our Hell in a Cell preview prediction, but as we all know, Ashley will probably be back for the, what is the next one? Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, yeah. I believe, yes.
When is Money in the Bank? Is that like
July? Don't know if I can look it up quick enough.
Yes, who can get there faster? I think it's mid-July. It's probably 4 weeks.
Oops. It is July 18th.
July 18th. Yeah, so 4 weeks. Okay. Yeah. Wow. All right. So it goes.
And that's the first one.
Going to be a hell of a weekend.
Fort Worth.
Think about Texas this, somewhere. Right? Friday Night SmackDown, the first one back in front of live fans, July 16th. Then you get the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, July 18th. Then you get the first Monday Night Raw back, July 19th. That's like WrestleMania and then the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. Like, that's what feels like to me.
You can even throw NXT in there, too. You can do a takeover Saturday, and then NXT is on Tuesday now. So you can kind of do a live show for NXT as well if you want to kind of piggyback.
Oh, my gosh. I think that WWE fans, like, you legitimately should be excited about the next 4 weeks. I mean, getting through the next 4 weeks, we can start our countdowns. I think you will be reinvigorated as a wrestling fan.
The worst is over.
Yes.
We've made it through.
Yes. No, that's a good way to put it. Like, we see the finish line. We see the finish line. We're about to get back to regularly scheduled programming in 4 weeks. I mean, it's so close, guys. It's so close. So, Ashley, any social media you'd like to share?
Just feel free to give me a follow on Twitter at @ashmanns.
Awesome. Well, guys, follow her and myself at WWE_podcast. That's on Instagram. I used to have one on Twitter, but we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Wrestling Audio on Twitter, wrestling_audio. I'll be tweeting throughout the show as well as on a Discord server if you join Patreon. So, Ashley, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be in contact very soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Matt.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.